Carry on. What's that phrase make you think about? What pops into your head? Carry on. When you hear it, what comes to mind? Different strokes for different folks, I know, but carry on. Now, what are you thinking about right now? For some of you, you might think of those signs from England, right? They were propaganda during World War II. Now, they were recently rediscovered in the early 2000s, and I know that's true because I asked Simon. But they became hugely popular in the early 2000s, remarketed for a lot of things. But do you remember what those signs say? What do they say? Does anybody know? Keep calm and what? Carry on. Others, I understand that carry on may remind you of your military service. Commanding officer, XO or CO, walks in a room, walks on deck. You have to stop what you're doing and come to attention until you're then told, carry on, and you can resume the duties that you were doing at the time. Maybe you think about traveling. Carry on luggage. You know what I think about? I think about, y'all know where I'm going with this. I think about those people that know their bag is too big to be a carry on. You know who I'm talking about? Or I hope you're not one of them. If you are, I'm sorry. But they know it's too big, and yet they bring it anyway, and then they sit there and they try to stuff it in the overhead compartment. And what are you doing? Carry on. Still for others, like me, you may think of the rock and roll band Kansas. Right? Carry on my wayward son. Everybody, there'll be peace when you are done. Everybody know this? Lay your weary hand to rest. Don't you cry. And then the guitars kick in. And look, when I got this fresh haircut Friday, I asked Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, what you think of? He said, isn't there a rock and roll song that in it? I'm not the only one. Carry on. Well, in case if you haven't noticed, my sermon is entitled, Carry On. I think it's a good title because it does conjure up a lot of different images in the mind. And our scripture for today's sermon is a story that I know I've been seeing in my mind's eye and letting play out in my imagination since the first time I ever heard it. I know I first heard this story in Vacation Bible School. I remember it distinctly at Roxbury Baptist Church. There was a felt board. Do y'all remember the days of felt boards in Sunday school? And there was a picture that they could move the characters around and all of that. Maybe we ought to bring back felt boards just for like a week, you know? Because I distinctly remember the picture associated with the story. If you're getting the emails, the surprise has already been ruined. But that's okay. If you don't, it's one of the all-time classic Bible stories. And it is the story of the four friends and the paraplegic. Let's see how Mark tells this story. If you have your Bibles, or if you have phones, if you want to do that, I want you to open them up, because I want you to pay attention to the text of this story, because the good stuff's in the details. It's the second chapter of Mark. Now, I'm going to be reading from the NRSV because that's my favorite translation. But this is how Mark tells the story of the four friends and the paraplegic. When he being Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've never seen anything like this. What a story. A story about carrying on. Let's set the scene. This is early on in Mark now. Remember, the second chapter. And if you don't know, Mark is a fast-paced, moving story. Mark starts out on fire. I mean, it's bam, 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 bam. Immediately is one of the most often used words in Mark. That's how he narrates. And immediately, and immediately, and immediately, bam, 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 bam. So there's been like five healings in the first chapter alone. So the second chapter starts out, Jesus has returned to his base of operations. Capernaum was like his hometown. But he gets there, and word has traveled. Word has followed. And so people hear about him. And so the crowds come and they surround him. Such a crowd that you couldn't even get in the door. We were at that county swim meet yesterday. That was a crowd. Well, this was a crowd too. This was a crowd. And Jesus is, I assume, teaching them, perhaps even from Jewish scripture, because Mark says he was teaching them the word. He was speaking to them the word. But this is when the story shifts, away from what Jesus and the crowds are doing to the four people carrying. Did you catch that in the text? They were carrying a man who was paralyzed so that that man could see, could hear, could be in the presence of Jesus. What was the paralyzed man looking for? Was he looking to just hear him teach? Was he looking for a miracle? Was he looking to be healed? What about the four friends? Surely they were his friends if they were willing to carry him. What were they hoping to accomplish? What were they looking for? Did they do it out of kindness? Were they hoping their friend could find some sort of peace? Was this a last chance at healing? We don't know any of that. We only get the details of what they do. We aren't told why they did it. We're just told what they do. And what they do is show some incredible effort. We see the fact that these four friends were willing to, guess what I'm going to say? Carry on. You see, first they carried their friend to see Jesus. But then when they got there and they saw that there was this crowd there, there was no way they were going to be able to bring their friend to Jesus because of this crowd. You couldn't even get in the door. But they went above and beyond. They carried him up onto the roof, and they literally dug a hole in that sucker. First century Judea, flat roofs, mud and clay. They punched a hole in it. Can you imagine being in the house and then all of a sudden sunlight, like the roof starts to crumble, all of a sudden sunlight, and everybody looks up, and this man comes, that's a great story. That felt board was awesome. Carry on indeed. And then the story really turns for me, that the story really grabs us and pulls us in, because the text says, when Jesus saw their faith, Miss Betty Jane, I went and checked the Greek, it's there. It is plural. It is their faith. It's not a translation. The Greek, their faith. Not a single person's faith. Not the paralytic man alone's faith. When Jesus saw their faith, that's where the story pulls me in. Perhaps it was the faith of the four friends. Perhaps it was the faith of all five of them. Jesus saw their faith and he was moved. So moved, in fact, he told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Well, there were some powers that be in that room. There were scribes, the educated religious authorities, and they were not ready to say carry on to that. In fact, they began to question. And notice the text says they questioned in their hearts. It later references that they were discussing among themselves, but most of this questioning was probably done within their own minds, saying, can he do that? Only God can forgive sins. And look, I get it. I totally get it. Because if somebody came up to me and was like, "I forgive you of all your sins," I'd be like, "Yeah, that's great, man, but I need Jesus." So from their first century Jewish context, I don't blame the scribes at all for thinking that question. I would have thought that question. Only God can forgive sins. Can he do that? But Jesus, in his spirit, the text says, in his spirit, he perceives that they're having these conversations, these questions, and so he has a carry-on type moment. There's other moments like this throughout Scripture. I was talking to Jim yesterday at that county swim meet and telling him about the sermon, and he texts me later on or emails me and says, "You know, I was thinking, Jesus in the temple." The King James translates that great story when he was a child. He gets lost, you know, they go back, they find him. In the King James it says, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business." He was carrying on. I said, "Jim, I hadn't even thought of that. That's great." Here's another carry-on type moment. We might even call it a mic drop type moment. Jesus is about to drop the mic on them. I'll explain that in a minute. So, he says, how do you question? You question the forgiveness? What's going to be easier? What would be more impressive for me to do? To forgive your sins? What if I healed? Physically healed them. What would be more impressive? And as human beings, you know, this is all theological and this is all thinking, but this over here, this is something tangible. This is something we can see. This is something we can touch. So Jesus says, "Okay, all right then. But so you'll know that the Son of Man," which is a title that he refers to himself as, "the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive." So you know that. Stand up, take your mat, and go home. Carry on. Boom. Now, if you don't know about drop the mic, okay, I mean, it's what you can do when there's nothing left to say. When you've said it all, you've proved everything, you just drop the microphone and walk off. The crowd was done. Carry on. I love this story. There's so much to digest, to think about, to meditate on, to let marinate on you. This is a great story. I love how Mark pulls us in, their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, for me as a reader, that pulls me into the story. But it's not the first time Mark does this. It's not the last time Mark does this. Mark is a great writer. He doesn't probably get the credit he deserves, but I think he's very intentional about pulling us in. That's why Sheila read the resurrection story, because what she read is how the earliest manuscripts in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is risen, or so the women are told, and they run off scared. Boom, the end. What kind of ending is that? It's the kind that pulls you in. Now you know Jesus is risen. What are you going to do about it? So the same thing happens here for me when Jesus saw their faith. And if I had to pick out the one thing that I think about over and over when I read this text, it's one phrase. Can you guess what that phrase is? Really? Come on. What's the phrase? Carry on. Come on, y'all. Wake up. Carry on. You see, like the four friends, we have to carry on. They picked up their friend. They physically carried him. There are others in our lives. There is probably somebody in your life that you are having to help carry. Maybe not physically. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe it's spiritually. Maybe it is physically. But there are those who we are tasked with caring for. And we have to carry on. Perhaps it's your calling as a parent. Perhaps it's a spouse. Perhaps it's a loved one. Perhaps it's a family friend. But there's somebody that you're helping care for. And if that's the case in your life, then my friends, carry on. There are institutions in our lives that we have to carry. The church is one. Another reason I love this text is a very selfish reason. It's because this one of the first sermons I ever preached was on this text, and it was to a congregation without a minister. So I preached on this, and I called it Carrying the Church. I told them, yeah, you don't have a minister, and that's difficult, but at the end of the day, you got you. You can carry this church. I mean, as Baptist, one of our most sacred institutions, I believe, is the priesthood of the believer. Yes, we have people that are called and they go off and they study and they prepare and they're educated. I did the same thing. But those religious scribes were educated as well. See, the church, First Baptist Church, it's more than just Ray or Megan. It's all of us. We have to carry this institution. We have to carry on. We have a responsibility. We have a calling. We are the servants of Christ in this body. We have to carry it. So love your church. Help carry it. If you got a complaint, come up with a solution, a viable solution. Help with the ministries. Great way. Vacation Bible School, the children's ministry. We're collecting those backpacks. Help with the budget. Give of not only your time and talent, but also resources. Because at the end of the day, we're responsible. If you're a member of this church, by all means, my friends, carry on. For me, though, it's larger than just the church. It's the community as a whole. It's the community that I want to carry. The one thing I love about my job and working at Cancer Services is our ministry is not bound by anything other than a shared diagnosis and a local address. And we carry those folks. And I'm going to brag on some folks a little bit here, but do you know, and a lot of people don't know this, but the Faith and Health Committee at our church here at First Baptist has literally helped carry cancer patients to and from treatment, to and from life-saving treatment, literally carried them. You were living out a Bible story. Over 50 times in 2018. We're only halfway through the year. I figured it up. That's a ride every 3 days. People from this church have literally carried people to be saved. If you're interested, Deb and Don Watson are here this morning. They're always looking for new members of that committee. I mean, but that's what happens, y'all. I have people call me and say, I'm sick and I don't have a ride. I don't have a car. I have no way to get to my treatment. I can't take that bus. What do? I say, hold on. I'm going to call Deb and Don and I'm going to give them your name. Deb and Don then call a committee and we get these people to treatment. We carry them. You're living out this story. So carry on. Finally, we all have to carry on through life, right? Life isn't easy. We know that. I think about the rough life that these people in this story have. I mean, this is first century ancient Near East. Think about what a paralyzed man was facing. Think about what your average citizen was facing. If you made it through the day, that was a success. They had to carry on. But it's not just stuck back then in the Bible times. No, it's today too. I well up with emotion and thinking about what some of our patients at cancer services face. But it's not just cancer. You just don't need a cancer diagnosis. I think about the people in our Sunday school class. That's just like 10 families and everything. The people who are my good friends have gone through, what they're facing. And then if we extended it out to this sanctuary, what you're dealing with, but you have to persevere. You have to carry on. I'm a sap when it comes to any kind of human interest story. Like, I can watch The Voice or American Idol or even like College Game Day, and once they tell a backstory on somebody, I'll just be sitting there crying. My family walks in and like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know, but it's just so moving. I will cry at the drop of a hat, but I am moved by the human condition and then by the faith, hope, and love that people share in the hardest moments of life. You can carry on. I know the burden may be heavy. It probably seems overwhelming. But carry on. Because there's more to the story. I'm not asking you to carry on just for the sake of persevering, just for the sake of carrying on, but it's because we have faith that something is about to happen. Don't forget the story, because Jesus saw their faith. Because he saw their faith and they were willing to carry on, that everything changed for the life of the paralytic. And I'm willing to bet everything probably changed for those four friends. Christ will see our work. Christ will see us carrying someone, something, some burden, and Christ will make a difference. It might not be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be months from now. We may even grow impatient and think, I can't do it anymore. How do you think the four friends felt when they got to the house after carrying this man? And they got there and they saw there's no way they're getting in. Do you think they wanted to quit? I bet they did. We've all been there, broken, defeated, done, thinking we can't go on, thinking that we can't carry anymore, thinking that there's no way. But if that's the case, get up to the roof. Find solutions. Keep at it. Keep working. Keep carrying on. Sheila read that passage from Isaiah. We believe in a God who's doing a new thing, a God who's willing to go into the desert and make a path. You may look at your situation and you may think, this is crazy. There's nothing to keep fighting for. But it may not make sense. But remember that mic drop moment. See, they had questions too. This is crazy. He can't forgive sins. That doesn't make any sense. God can't help me. That doesn't make any sense. Who does he think he is? He showed them. He showed them exactly who he is. and who he is our Savior. Hope made flesh. The Word incarnate. Who he is the risen Lord, who through all things are possible. Carry on.